and our place of employment. And then last week we looked specifically at wives and the command to submit to their own husbands. And all of these three areas are areas where God has sovereignly ordered His creation in such a way that there is a form of His authority that He possesses over all things. A form of that authority is within certain types of relationships, again, in the things that He has made. So we understand a rejection of these God-ordained human authorities is a rejection of God's authority in our own lives. We also remember that as a result of sin, every one of these authorities, these places of authority in our lives, in the context of these verses, because of sin, it is being practiced in a cruel way. Yet we Christians are still to practice submission through these difficult circumstances. And the main emphasis throughout these passages for the Christian is that in your life, as you look to God as your ultimate sovereign creator, as you look to Him as the ultimate authority in your life, that we are to live our lives and dedicate our lives to Him and to the gospel ministry that is at work within us. The main emphasis as followers of Jesus Christ is that our lives are not our own, but they must be filtered through questions. Questions like, how am I representing Jesus Christ? How am I representing His gospel message that God has used to save me and to change me? Remember the gospel. I am a sinner. I have rebelled against an all-holy God. And Jesus Christ, because of the great love with which He has for us, we sang about it all morning long. Because of this love, He has looked upon us and our rebellion, and He's chosen to set His affections. He's chosen to save us. He died for us on the cross. So, if we being rebels have been saved by such a great grace, if this message is true, or since this message is true, His followers then show forth this same grace in their lives. We show forth the grace and the truth of the gospel in submitting to authorities that God has placed over us. And it has been challenging as we've gone through these last three Sundays because, again, every single area is an area where this authority is being used in a cruel way. Not the way that God would have the authority to be used. And it's hard. It's difficult to endure in practicing submission. Many of you have actually shared with me personally over these last few weeks the difficulties that you've struggled with as you've gone through relationships with abusive bosses at your workplace. And how do you handle that? When is it time to stick up for yourself? When is it time to be respectful and endure? And when is it time to leave in a respectful way? I think all of us would say that we struggle as we look at our country and we see the direction that many leaders in our country are going and how they're leading us as a nation, and we say we're not okay with this. So how do I submit to something that I completely disagree with? It is a difficult question. It's a difficult call that God has placed on us. But I want to encourage you ladies from last week and that out of all three, I think the most difficult falls on the wife. And enduring a submissive attitude towards your husband, if your husband is not following the word, is not submitting himself to the Lord himself and seeking to lead you in love. It is something that continues day in and day out in your life. And we definitely know that it is not easy. Well, why do I say that this is the hardest? Why do I say that it's harder for you to endure than it is for us to endure the submission to our government or submission to our boss? Well, I want to encourage you, again, that God's grace is greater, and that as we come to our text this morning in verse 7, what we find is actually the inverse of what this authority, what this leadership that in the previous six verses, Apostle Peter is encouraging the wives, if your husband is not following the Lord, submit to him. Have a quiet and gentle spirit. Okay? And this is the only occasion in these list of three where Peter actually then goes to the authority and he corrects them and tells them how they are to live and how they are to practice that authority. He doesn't do that with the government. He does not do that with slaves and masters in particular. And I think that is evidence to how important it is that husbands likewise live for Jesus in your relationship with your wife. It's so important. Peter takes the time in 1 Peter 3:7 to give the correct instruction to the authority, the headship of the husband in the home. So, wives, as Pastor Bob encouraged you last week, not to nag your husbands. Good job. I want to reaffirm what he said and point to Christ's ultimate love for you and his ultimate headship over you. You don't have to nag your husband to make them understand you more and to show you more honor. Because God, in his great love for you, commands it of your husband in 1 Peter 3:7. He is your voice. His grace covers your need. Now, husbands, it is your turn. I don't stand before you this morning saying that I have all of this together. I know that I fall short in every single area that I'm going to speak on. And part of me, as Pastor Bob and I went back and forth on who's sharing what passage, I think it's hard as a man preaching and teaching to ladies on things that I don't experience. I know God's word is sufficient for that. But there's a burden, there's an issue there. But then also, as a husband, as I am preaching to other husbands, I know what's going on in my head and in my heart. And I know that I fall short. And that what we're going to talk about today, we all need encouragement. We all need correction. We all need direction in these things. So, as we turn our attention to husbands, you must know again the weight of your actions towards your wife. The weight of all of your actions towards your wife. The weight that God places on your actions. Men, we are to be living examples of Jesus Christ and his love for our brides who are his bride. That's why it's nerve-wracking preaching this message. Nothing short of embodying Jesus Christ and his love for our wives will do. Nothing short of that will do. That is a tall order. Anything less is sin and rebellion against Jesus Christ in his gospel message. Though we proclaim we love him with our lips, anything less is rebellion against it and rebellion against his gospel. We must know that. But we also must know that God's grace is greater, that the cross has conquered our sin, and that as we now shed light and open up our chest and reveal our hearts and our needs, we know that, again, his grace is sufficient, his Spirit indwells us, and he will lead us unto paths of righteousness for the glory of his great name. So let's trust in him as we move forward. Hopefully we're all there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says this: "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for truth. Thank you, God, that truth pierces into our hearts. Father, I pray for grace and for humility, that you would speak through the heart of a sinner and through his lips and proclaim the truth that we all need to hear. God, would you encourage your people this morning with truth? Would you enable us to have faith and humility to repent where we need to repent, to trust in you, that you, God, as we confess our sins, are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We trust in you, God, and would you lead us as we move forward, as we leave this building together this morning, would we go and show the world the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you show it through our marriages? Would you show it specifically through the men in this room who you have given the privilege to be called husband? We ask and pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. So our verse starts out with the word likewise. We all remember that last week, Pastor Bob, what he had to say about this word. There it is, likewise. So likewise means similarly or in like manner. He discussed it last week. And Peter's instruction for wives pointed us back again to the thoughts of submission that we saw before in government and slave submission to their masters. So he was making a connection there. That's what the word likewise is referring to. But likewise does not only mean that. Okay, likewise can be used in a different way in Scripture. Specifically, it can be used when speaking of a relationship. Okay, you have two different parties in a relationship with two different roles that need to be engaged in this relationship in a specific way, in their specific role, in order for that relationship to work, in order for that relationship to glorify God. Okay? Instruction will be given to the first party, and then instruction will be given to the second party, and at the beginning of the second party's instruction, it will say, likewise. Okay? But it doesn't mean the same as what it meant when it went from submission in government, submission in slaves to masters, submission in wives to husbands. This is now going to be pointing to what is the husband's response now. What is a correct response of the headship in the home as the wife is submitting unto him? Let me show you an example of this. Turn one or two pages to the right and go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And we'll read through verse 5. It says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. What's the next word? Likewise. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Okay. God is not saying that the elders are subject to the younger men in the church by saying likewise. He's not saying that the younger men of the church lead the elders in the same way that the elders lead the young men in the church. The word likewise is being used to show both parties in this discipleship relationship. It shows how they must function in order for it to be a profitable relationship for the Lord and for all parties involved. Elders shepherd the flock. They practice oversight. They lead by example. The younger men place themselves in subjection under their leaders. Again, this likewise, or the idea of how a relationship is to be structured on both ends, is where we find ourselves in 1 Peter 3:7. Does that make sense? Flip back to 1 Peter 3:7. So Peter has said what he needed to say to the wives. Now, husbands, what follows is how we are supposed to live with our wives. Peter says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives. Men, as you live, this needs to be your focus. What we go through in the rest of this verse, this must be your focus. What's not your focus? Verses 1 through 6, right? Wives, what's your focus? Verses 1 through 6, what's not your focus? Verse 7. This is a very important distinction to make, because it's not my job to make Naomi follow Christ, and it's not her job to make me follow Christ. In fact, oftentimes in my relationship, when I try and correct and instruct and disciple, oftentimes it doesn't come out right. Causes more harm than good. What I've found clearly from the Word of God and clearly experientially in my own life is that it's when I focus on what God has called me to that my relationship with Naomi starts flourishing. So men, focus on this. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Scripture says in ESV, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. I think it's better read the way that I have it up on the screen. It says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Okay, the word that is used for understanding, an understanding way, is simply the word gnosis. It's referring to the act of knowing. It's knowledge. Okay, so husbands, your instruction from the Lord is you are to live with your wives according to knowledge. Well, if you're like me, you're asking the question of, well, what knowledge? What does that mean? Okay, and this word is used several different ways throughout Scripture. There's two different ways that we're going to focus on this morning. The first is know your wife. Know your wife. Grow in knowledge of your wife. Simply put, husbands, you need to study your wife. There's a great movie that came out years ago called Fireproof. Who's seen the movie Fireproof? It's an excellent movie, convicting movie. Okay, but it's this gentleman who's a firefighter. He's having issues in his life. Struggling with a lot of different sins. He doesn't know the Lord, and he comes to Christ throughout the movie. And one main plot that's going on is he's struggling in his relationship with his wife. And there's this scene where this new baby Christian is talking to his mentor about his marriage, and his mentor shares with him how men look at marriage like it's the finish line of their relationship. He says men date their wives, their eventual wives, and they spend time investing in them and getting to know them, and they put their best foot forward. And then marriage comes along. They say yes. You say I do. And you say, Yahoo! And you think that that study is over. You're at the finish line. But men, we are gravely mistaken if that's what we think. Gravely mistaken. No, the race has just begun. The mentor in the movie goes on to talk about a husband's relationship with his wife, and he compares it to schooling. He says you graduate elementary school when you get married, and then you go on to high school. And then what do you do after high school? You go to college and get an associate's and then a bachelor's and then a master's degree. Men, we must seek to earn a master's degree in studying our wives. And even more than that, Sam Giovannucci is a doctor. Does your education ever stop, Sam? No, it does not. Think about yourself as a doctor. Even when you get that master's degree, you have to keep educating yourself, keep taking classes, because the medical field changes, doesn't it? There's different medicines, there's different applications of the medicine. The body morphs in different ways. And this is not a shot, ladies, this is a reality. You change. Things change throughout time. God changes you in good ways, right? So you have to intentionally be studying your wife consistently. That's what you're doing. That's what you're going to school for, men. Wayne Grudem gives a great list in his commentary on 1 Peter of things that we need to be studying in our wives. First, study her emotions. Study her emotions. How can you best support her when she's feeling overwhelmed? Study her telltale signs that show when she's starting to get overwhelmed, and hit it off before it turns into tears and issues that are long-standing. Be watchful, observant, be purposeful and mindful. Study your wife to figure out what she likes and what she doesn't like. When I was preparing this, I laughed out loud, literally, because this right here is something that Naomi, I think, is changing in all the time. But it's not true. Before we got married, we had pizza all the time because I love pizza. And then we got married and she's like, you know, I really don't like pizza. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Peanut butter, pizza, the list goes on. She grew up in Mexico, so her taste buds are quite a bit different than what we have here. There's a lot of sugar here, and sugar can be a bit overwhelming to her. It's crazy, you know, I like sugar, you can see. Okay, but what is she like? What doesn't she like? Be intentional of finding ways then to bless her in areas that she likes. Okay, study your wife to figure out her spiritual needs and what you can do to help support her in them. Guys, remember we talked last week that we don't like to be nagged. Well, oftentimes women don't like a Mr. Fix-It to come along and to fix their problem. They want somebody to come and to listen for more than 2 seconds and to figure the answer out and then interrupt them quickly so that you can fix their problem and move on to the next thing that you're dealing with. They want more than that. I can tell you, I've learned this over 12 years of marriage. Okay? Sometimes Naomi will just look at me and graciously tell me, Larry, I just need you to listen and care and maybe give me a hug. Spend the time. Get to know her. Invest in her. Give her those hugs. Give her your time and attention. Study her to know her strengths and weaknesses. Know the difference between a weakness and sin. Know the difference between your preference and sin. Most of the time we fight over our preferences, and it's not a sin that's being committed in our home. We want our wife to be exactly the way that we want her to be. So we will correct, we will point the finger and jab, and we crush our wife's spirit. Get over your pet peeve. If there is a sin that must be confronted, make sure it's a sin according to Scripture. Confront it in gentleness and respect, and remember this also, love covers a multitude of sins. Even when there's sin involved, it doesn't mean that you have to correct. Love covers a multitude of sins. We don't need to point out every flaw. Study your wife so you can have wisdom in knowing when to speak and when to keep silent. Study, get to know her goals, get to know her frustrations. How's life? Study, study, study your wife. Number two, study the Word. It is not enough just to know our wives. We have to know the Word, men. We have to spend time in it. We have to be diligent in studying the Word. We have to know what God says in order to serve our wives in a way that is guided by truth. If it's not guided by truth, it will cause more harm than good. The world needs less. Put your name in there. The world needs less Larry Fox. The world needs more Jesus Christ. Naomi needs less Larry. She needs more Jesus. Bring her the truth of Jesus from Scripture. Keep saying that to yourself, men. Study the Word so that you have knowledge of the truth, and so that you're living with your wife and loving your wife in a way that's guided by true knowledge, by Scripture. And I don't believe that this is out of context. When we look at knowledge in the text, all throughout Scripture, this word gnosis is used all the time, talking about the knowledge that comes from God alone. Okay? And remember the context. Likewise, wives, in verse 1, 1 Peter 3:1, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word. I think there is an inverse here of don't be that guy. Obey the word. Know what the word says. Study it so you can bring it in your relationship to your wife. Above, the woman is called to submit to her husband who doesn't obey the word. So again, men, your instruction, know the word, study it. Look at the command that comes in verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. How would we know that to be true? How would we know that our prayers would be hindered in the way that we treat our wife unless we knew the truth of God's word? We have to be in the word, man. Saying I don't like to read is not good enough. Get in the word. Get to know the Lord. Get to know the truth. Get to know your need for the Lord so that God can soften your heart to minister effectively to your bride. We must study. The need for study implies two things here. Again, we need to intentionally think. We cannot just walk around in our lives lackadaisically. And I guarantee you this, every single guy in here, for your job, you have goals at the workplace, don't you? You have thought about, how am I going to accomplish those goals? What am I going to do? How much energy is it going to take for me to accomplish these goals? Where do I want to be? I evaluate myself and my circumstance now. This is where I am. I want to be here. How am I going to get there? Men, you have to treat your wives with the same respect. way more respect is what we're going to see. Be intentional. Set goals. Attainable goals. Think intentionally. Number two, our need to study shows us that we don't have the answers. It shows us our own frailty as men. Okay? Remember, we're not trying to lead our wives to be followers of us. We're trying to lead them to Jesus because He's the only one who is sufficient for them. Okay? We don't know all the answers. Look to Scripture for the answers. Back to 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Honor here simply means precious in value. Precious in value. But I want to focus on quickly the word showing. We're to show that our wives are precious in value to us, precious in value to Christ. Showing. Showing is an action word, isn't it? I don't just study to believe something and to think about it. I study and my belief results always in action. Okay? Knowledge is not good enough alone. Study, yes. Study your wives. Study the Word. And be reminded that your study resulting in knowledge always results in action. True, heartfelt study of our wives and the Word of God results in this action. Honoring them. Always. You're not going to get a different answer. Because the truth tells us who they are. And when we know who they are, we have to respond in honor. We act upon truth. Belief in the truth always results in action. Okay, now back to our original thought. Honor speaks to believing what God says about your wife, that she is precious in value. God is telling us that our wives are precious in value to whom? To Him. They're precious in value to Him. This is the truth. No matter how you feel in a moment, no matter what's going on with an argument or frustration with your bride, your wife is precious in value. And we must show that we believe this by honoring our wives outwardly. A couple of things to help you think through this. Think highly of them. Meditate on things that are good, that are right, that are just. Praise them. Give them words of praise throughout the day. Intentionally do it. And don't just randomly say things. Look for things going on and intentionally, as you observe it, say it. Praise them before others. Praise them before men. Beloved, don't talk ill of your wife in front of your friends. Don't do it. I have done that. And it led my heart into deeper darkness in my relationship with Naomi and my relationship with Christ. Don't do it. We want to get with our buddies and dwell in our sin together. Don't do it. Okay? Any action that does not demonstrate that she is of precious value to you is a result of selfishness. It's sinfully motivated. Understand that. I'm going to say it again. Any action that does not demonstrate that your bride is precious in value to you is selfishly motivated and is sinfully motivated. Ugh. Show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Weaker vessel. This is an illustration referring to a weaker vessel that one would view as precious in value. It has a weak nature about it, therefore you handle it with care. The illustration that I've often read of and heard about with this is China. You have China in your house. It's super valuable, but it's also super brittle, so you handle it with care. Okay, but as I was studying this, my eyes fell on something that I think we can all relate to, and I want to talk about it. My eyes fell on a picture on my phone of my precious little valuable Faith, or Faithy, as Valerie has so affectionately come to name her, little Faithy. Now, I don't know a person in this room that would look at Faith and say that she has less value than anyone else in here. She is physically weaker, yes? Yes, she is. But that's not the point. Yes, she does need someone to wipe her drool, to feed her, to clean her. And not too long ago, she even needed somebody to hold her head up so that she wouldn't hurt her neck because her head was too heavy to support, for her neck to support. Okay, worldly speaking, she is of less value than a man because a man is stronger and he can do more things for other people. But the truth is, I've seen a lot of you men hold Faith. And you want to know what happens? I look in your eyes and there's joy and there's smiles. And you love babies. Most of us, right, guys? Hey? And I'll tell you this. I would not hesitate to say this. I think every guy in here would jump in front of a semi-truck to save Faith. Someone who is, worldly speaking, weaker and less valuable. But God is using this to show, hey, the way the world thinks is not the way my kingdom works. The things that you think are weak are the things that he holds in high esteem. And he gives this illustration to show us how valuable women, wives are. Hopefully we get that. It's something that we must protect. Something that we must cherish. Husbands, God says your wife is of immeasurable worth. 1 Peter 3:7 says, believe that and live according to it. Why? Because they're heirs with you. They're heirs with you. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Men, your believing wife is an heir with you of the grace of life. Simply put, she's a queen in the kingdom of God. She's a queen in God's kingdom. Some very wise words have come to me twice throughout my time here at this church. And it's, Larry, if you want Naomi to be a queen, then treat her like one. Believe it and treat her like one. Well, I can one-up that. She is a queen of the kingdom. It's not that I want to make her that. She is that. So treat her like what she is. Husbands, you don't have to do it right now, but sometime this week, sit down with your wife, look at her in the eyes, and say, behold, a queen of the kingdom of God. A queen of the kingdom. She deserves your respect. She deserves your love. She deserves your sacrifice. She deserves your attention. Give it to her. Treat her like a queen. How would you treat royalty? Would you ignore them? Or would you be on your best behavior around them? Do you understand the status and give them what's due them? The second statement that we have, the because statement, is that of a warning. That your prayers may not be hindered. Okay, notice with me that it doesn't specify what prayers. What does that mean? If it doesn't specify what prayers, it means all your prayers. Men, do you realize if you take advantage of your wife, if you abuse the headship that God has given you in her life, all of your prayers will be hindered? Hey, think about that. Let that go through your mind. Prayer is a foundational element of the Christian life. It's a foundational element of following Christ, of living for Him. If we don't pursue knowing our wives, knowing Scripture, knowing how to serve our wives according to truth, living that action of truth out by showing them honor and value consistently, if we don't do that, our very walk with the Lord is altered. Know this, our effectiveness for Christ hinges on what we believe about our wives, and it hinges on how we treat them according to our belief. That is very strong. Peter wants us to understand this is serious. So think through these statements. How are you doing, men? Are you dwelling with your wife according to knowledge? Are you intentionally studying her? Are you intentionally studying the Word so that as you grow to know her more, you know how to serve her best? Are you truly valuing her in your heart? Do you see her as precious, the gift from the Lord that she is? Are you showing this continually? Are you acting upon your belief? Do you see her as someone that you need to protect, someone that you need to cherish, someone that you need to lead to Jesus? Again, there's a lot of areas in our lives that we make goals and we try and be intentional to pursue something that we want. I want to encourage you to pursue your bride. I want to encourage you that as you try to pursue your bride, focus on Jesus and focus on the cross. We need Jesus to teach us about our needs. We need to see the gospel in Jesus Christ and the cross as sufficient so that we lead our wives to Him and to the cross. Only Jesus has the all-sufficient grace that your wife needs. Will you lead them? Will you ask Jesus to lead you so that you might lead them? Let's pray. Father God, as we go through your word, as we see the truth demonstrated clearly through this one verse, this one powerful verse, God, I pray that you would impact our hearts in the way that only you can. God, convict us where we need conviction. Instruct us unto righteousness. Get us right. Correct us. And Lord, lead us. Complete us. May we trust in you for every good work that you call us to. When we look at this, may we not feel overwhelmed, but may we see that the cross of Jesus Christ and your indwelling Spirit and your word, that it is sufficient to lead us to be what you call us to be as husbands. Lord, would you give our wives grace? Would you give them forgiving hearts? When we need them, we need them too often. But again, thank you that the cross of Jesus is sufficient. We love you, Lord. And again, I pray that you would impact this world. Not only us, not only our children, but God, that the gospel would go forth both in word, God, and in deed, as this world sees the gospel alive and active in the marriages of Kentwood Baptist Church. For the glory of Christ, we do ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.